Welcome back to another episode of Straight to the Point. I am very, very excited to bring on two gentlemen that I've got to know very, very well over the past 3 hours, just chilling around. Or should I say one of them anyway, because Kieran always arrives unfashionably late looking at it today with everything's going. James Hennessy, Kieran Nichols, welcome, should I say, to the Straight to the Point podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
How you doing, boys?
Yeah, good. Sorry I'm late.
Always late. Absolutely every single time.
Always late. Today was actually not my fault.
Why are you late? What's your excuse?
My sister.
She always.
So I had to go back home to take some pictures with my sister because she just graduated from uni, and she was obviously I haven't got a car back home, so she was giving me a lift back to the station, and she's like, "I've got loads of time." We didn't have loads of time, did we? And I had to wait another hour for the train, so that's why I'm like, good reason.
Now, boys, so I've got quite a few questions that I want to go through with you today because. Kieran, obviously, you've got the TV experience of your
4 minutes of,
4 minutes of time on the pilot.
And to bring that up.
And I think we'll talk about that a little bit, definitely. But obviously, we've interviewed you before, actually, on one of my other podcasts on Brand New, which I think it was just over the first time we went into lockdown, wasn't it, now, first time. But you guys obviously have a number of different businesses together, yeah. Which I think will be really, really cool to talk about for my listeners. But I think it'd be quite cool for you to go through how you guys met because you've got a couple of partnerships together now in different companies, but how did you guys meet?
I'll take this one, yeah. On so I was living in London. I was a member of a members club in London called the MED, and then across the road, I used to work out of a WeWork, and then I used to go to a gym called City Athletics. So I signed up to one of those, you know, those 12-week courses that says they're going to get you in great shape. Completely lie. so I signed up to that, attended, went to the sessions, met up with Kieran, and that's kind of how we met. So I went there with the intentions of training with someone else, and then because of the football background and the sports and the competitiveness.
Glass knees.
And the glass knees. He was like, oh no, you're not going to be training with me. I've got the perfect person for you. And then I pointed over to Kieran, and then I met Kieran literally a couple of days later, and then put out a whole program for me. And it kind of went from there, didn't it?
Yeah, obviously when you're PTing, you obviously talk about a lot of, I mean, to be fair, a lot of my clients talk about stuff they would not talk to most people about, especially like even friends. And obviously when the longer me and James were trained together, the more we got to know each other and we actually started hanging out outside of training. It wasn't just a case of come down to the gym, do your hour, see you later, I won't see you again till next week. He just worked across the road in WeWork, and in between my sessions, the gym I used to train at didn't actually have like a space where we can actually sit down and do bits. I used to just go to coffee shops and whatnot. But James was like, "Hey, I'm in the city today. Come over to WeWork, and let's just go from there." And that kind of like,
let's not go into too much detail.
I can't go into the exact story of what happened that day.
Please don't.
But looking back now, it was generally like. What sort of made us become really, really good friends because what he went through at the time, this is a breakup, right?
Yeah.
He went through a breakup and I was literally going through a breakup.
At the same time?
The same sort of time. And it was just kind of like, we were just there for each other. So we met each other like couple of weeks before.
Yeah, so I did like the 12 weeks and then I stopped my PTing because of other commitments, basically. And then, yeah, we'd send your texts and stuff like that. And then he reached out to me, gave me a call, said, "James, what are you up to?" And I said, "Oh, I'm actually in the city, pop over and see me." And then he popped in, we sat down and had a chat, and then I was going through some stuff at the time, he was going through some stuff at the time, and then it was like, all right, cool, well, let's just go out Friday night. And then all of a sudden, it was the first time we went out, wasn't it? And we went to Libertines in London. So we went out, we had a great night out, and then it was like, let's book a holiday. Then we went and we booked Dubai and went to the Grand Prix and stuff like that. And it's
all this time, though, James didn't know nothing about my TV experience. He didn't know I was on my body, none of that.
I knew probably about 5 or 6 weeks in, right? So 5 or 6 weeks into the training, someone dropped a comment and said, he goes, "Oh, what's it like training with a Love Island?" I went, "What?" And I don't watch reality TV shows. I don't watch any of them because I just don't have time. It's always true. I don't have an hour or 2 hours to sit there. And you know, when you start watching something, you start to get addicted to it and you've got to stay sticking to it. And I don't have time to do that. So, and then I was like, "What?" So I went and sit there. I went, "I think that woman up there just said, you're on Love Island." He went, "Yeah," he said, "how come you never spoke to me about it?" I said, "Because I didn't know." And then all of a sudden, like, we started talking about it, didn't we? And he said it was like the best 4 minutes of your life, right?
And obviously I was going to loads of events and stuff, and like I say, Liberties, and
yeah,
I was just saying that we can go out here and whatever, we get invited to stuff, and then James just like come with me more frequently. So yeah, that's how we kind of like met. And then obviously I was living in,
what was that, like 2 years, what is that, about 2 years ago now?
2018, yeah.
2018, right? So, and before that, I didn't really do social media. I'd like LinkedIn for business, because for me it was all about business. I didn't have time for Facebook. You know, I had no other social media. Well, I had when I was younger. Yeah, that's probably one of the reasons I didn't have it.
And then
I jumped on Instagram, and like, Instagram was a whole new world for me. You know, I'd take a selfie, and he'd be like, "Well, why don't you put a filter on it?" I'm like, "What do I need a filter for?" And he started introducing me to all these cool little filters, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, it looks much better." But yeah, and then like the whole Instagram scene was just a complete new scene for me, and I have no doubt that we're going to dive into that a little bit deeper anyway on this talk.
Totally, yeah.
I think you all completely know it.
Yeah, I think like when you first get exposed to that kind of life, I mean, we've grown up with it, right? In terms of the way that kind of it's taken over pretty much everyone's lives. And especially when you're in business, and I think that's something that you guys have done really, really well now, obviously with the multiple brands that you've built. But I think your relationship, like even just sitting here with you now, right? You obviously get on very, very well. And for me, that's crucial when you're looking at like partnering and growing businesses together. But I mean, in terms of your social, Kieran, in terms of how you've kind of leveraged that, is that something that you tap into quite regularly with the businesses that you're involved with now? Is it a forefront of your strategy? Because I know you've obviously grown a following that's over 140,000, I think, on Instagram now. Facebook's quite large as well. Is it still forefront of your business strategies?
In regards to like my coaching or the
everything
we're talking about?
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I was saying this conversation yesterday with someone actually, because I just popped back home and I saw like an old friend, and I was just like, they were talking about just how I've kept doing what I do, like fitness. And I'm like, look, I'm nearly 30 now, and I've started training when I was 14. So over half my life I've been training. And you'd think by now I'd get bored of it or something would change. But I said to her, I think because I have a following, and I was kind of documenting what I do now anyway on my social media before I had a following, but having that people that are watching it does make me feel like it's so much more easier to keep up with. And you know, ever since James sort of came into my life, actually, because I was kind of like losing the love for it a little bit. I was thinking, what am I actually posting this picture for? Like, what am I after here? I was never one to like care about likes, but then James started, you know, making me realize a bit more about, it's not just about likes and all that stuff. It's like, you know, you can build a great brand and you know, build up your following for what you do. It's just the way you put it out there, sort of thing. So I think the last, especially in lockdown, the first, you know, start of lockdown, that really made me think, hang on a minute, things could be really good here. Mm. 2020 was probably the best year of my life in regards to business. Like, it just sort of boomed, and that was all through social media. So definitely.
And what is it that you do now, just for everyone else that's listening to get some context to it? So you have the coaching business, right?
Yeah, I have my own coaching academy, which is just absolutely crazy. Like, you know, in 2020 I had over 1,000 clients come through.
Crazy.
Within a space of like 4 or 5 months. And that's another thing in itself. So it's all good and well having, you know, a big social media presence, but what I find really cool is having, you know, a smaller community, you know, 1,000 people in one Facebook group who care about everything that I say. And, you know, I just think that in itself is just incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, like a lot of people talk about having one, right, and building community, and they love the fact that they've like, I love the idea of one. Mm. How did you go about building it? Because there's one thing saying, oh, I'm going to go build a community and all that sort of thing. How did you go about doing it? Because you had a bit of a following, but even converting current followers into a paid community, technically, what you did. What were your steps to that? How did you go about it?
I mean, it's interesting you say, we just had that conversation off there, didn't we, a minute ago? And it's like, you know, you can, unless you've got, I mean, I'm selling a service here, so it's different to like selling a product, if you like, a one-off product. And I think like what we just said there, like I've kind of exhausted now my following. You know, it's, they're there for, I don't know what they're there for. They're probably there just to watch me train and whatever. But actually converting them to just people that are on my Instagram to actually, you know, growing the community. I don't know how it actually worked, to be honest with you. I think it was just the sake of lockdown. I will give, you know, we had a lot of time on our hands. The first 3 or 4 weeks was kind of like, hang on a minute, no one's really doing anything here. And then when we started to hear the news that, like, oh, we're going to be in this for a little while now, I think then people started to think, hang on a minute, we actually started doing stuff. So it kind of, I got a little bit lucky in that sense, but I think once some people sort of like, you know, a few hundred come jumped on board, everyone was talking about it. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And it's like, it's not just the fact of getting the people in there, it's how you keep them in there. And it's the value that I offer in my Facebook group is, you know, 100 times more value than what my Instagram is. So if you're getting value from my Instagram, just imagine what you'd get if you was in the community.
And I think that's the powerful thing there, right? So we talk about this a lot. I spoke about it quite a bit on this podcast, actually. The key word that you use is value. And for me, it gets thrown around a lot. Hey, just give value and money will come. But if you actually look at what you've done in your product, like I've seen your product, right? We've gone through it. We did a bit of work together, just like conversations and stuff throughout last year. And one thing that you do is you care about the people that work with you, right? The people that commit. And a lot of people will sit there and they'll think, and I've spoken about this a couple of times, where it's like, oh, it's all right for you. You've got 140,000 followers. You're on Love Island. You've managed to build yourself an audience. And now, look, it's easy for you. But actually, what they don't see behind the scenes is the hours that have gone into building the app, recording the workouts, actually building relationships with the audience that you've got, then looking at other lead generation strategies to put people into a paid product where you then have to continuously provide the value to keep people there. And yeah, you got fortunate maybe with lockdown coming in the way that it did and home workouts being a thing. But at the end of the day, we're coming out of lockdown now, and there's still opportunity for people to do this if they could just understand the value that they need to do, but also the hard work that goes in behind the scenes to do it. And this is, for me, like my biggest bugbear, right? We joke about Clubhouse quite a bit, don't we, in terms of like people on there and stuff, making business sound easy, and it's not. It's hard work, and you've got to have a product, you've got to have a skill, you've got to have a service. You've then got to have and understand the way that business really works in terms of provide a solution to a problem over and over again to an acceptable line of quality, you'll have a scalable business. That's literally as complicated as it needs to get, but you need to fucking work hard.
I think it's the same what we just said there about, you know, growing the Instagram following. Obviously, like, when you've got more people watching your stuff and caring about what you do, it becomes easier and more natural to just put it out there. Like, within the community group, I just love it because I let them do the talking for one, but I also let them have their own say on things. You know, every week I'm getting, you know, hundreds of people check in, and if they think somebody else will benefit from me adding a different feature on my app, I will try and do that because it's all about how I can help them, you know. And that's like you just said there, people throw the word value around so easy nowadays, and it's so easy to say, oh, offer value, offer value. But if you don't care about actually helping them, you can offer a valuable piece of advice, but if you don't actually care about how they can get to actually benefit them, it's not going to work, is it? You need to actually care about that individual.
I think the good thing that you've done as well is that you've built an actual community, and it's not just a case of them interacting directly with Kieran, it's a case of them all interacting together. And you know, there'll be days where Kieran will go, oh, I need to jump into my group. He'll jump into the group and he'll be like, do you know what? They've all answered each other's questions already. And it's like, oh, well, I've done this. And oh, well, I spoke to so-and-so about this the other day. I spoke to Kieran. And it's like, they've all come together and they all work together. And it's kind of, especially going through difficult times, you know, you need those other people around you. And it's
different people other than your friends and your family all the time.
And it's amazing to see other people that have never met each other just think, do you know what? I'm on there and I'm going to help bring people up. And as much as, you know, Kieran will push them with their health and their fitness, it's not just that, it's your mental health as well. And this is what's keeping them going. And these people are interacting in these groups on a, you know, throughout the day. It's, you know, it's literally throughout the day, and they love it. And the, you know, people don't see behind the scenes like the direct messages you get. But Kieran will turn around and say, look at this, what a client just sent me. This is unbelievable. So like L dopamine's be going through the roof because you're being totally bloody up, this is brilliant. But they don't see all that.
What you don't see is what goes on behind the scenes. Obviously, if you're involved, you'll see it more often. But even I see more than what my clients see through check-ins. You know, I'll get what's the best thing for me is when someone comes into the group, they're nervous, they're scared. I'm like, relax, it's fine. But the more you engage, the more you're going to get results, or the better results you're going to get, right? So when you get someone comes in and they're nervous and stuff, 3 or 4 months down the line, they're the ones that are helping the new ones. And that's what it's all about. And it's about seeing them progress in even in that manner, let alone how confident they're feeling now.
Totally. And I think one of the things that you touched upon was relationship building, right? So for me, especially when we've gone through probably one of the most toughest moments in, like, especially I've been on the planet, like it's been ridiculously difficult in terms of like talking to people, communicating to people, having that human to human interaction. Like, I think those communities have saved a lot of people. And just speaking to you today, Jim, like in terms of just getting to know you, one of the things, like diving into your background, right? You are a networker, you are a relationship builder, you are a connector with what you've done. But I don't think many people will know your story, actually. But, I mean, how did you get into business? Because you've had a very, very cool background of what you've done.
Yeah, yeah.
So how have you kind of managed?
So to be completely transparent, I left school and decided not to go to college and uni. I decided to take the work route. I played football part-time. So my dream was always to be a footballer. And then, unfortunately, a couple of bad knee injuries meant that I could no longer pursue that path. Now, luckily, I worked part-time in the background. So I was in the serviced office industry, working for a company called Regis, which quite a lot of people do know if you're kind of in that space. And then I kind of just worked my way up, you know, became the youngest centre manager in the company, then became an area sales manager looking after 14 buildings. So it was literally just head down, work hard. And then at the age of 20, when I found out that, you know, I could no longer play football, it was like a big shock to the system. It was like, I've actually got to kind of really put my head down and focus on something else now. And then luckily I made some right moves, you know, carried on within the serviced office industry, got headhunted for another company, got headhunted again, and then decided, you know what, I'm fed up with making everyone else money and listening to and doing things their way. I want to do it by myself. Had a couple of people approach me saying, well, let's team up. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it myself. So set up a small consultancy, helped a couple of small companies out there set up small service offices and helped them push their kind of systems and procedures and structure within their setups. And then it all kind of went forward from there. Then I set up a company called, I met with an ex-director at Regis, set up a company called Domain Office Search. Now, you know, that's the best decision I made to date. I was 27 years old. He decided to say, look, do you know what, James? He was an experienced head of an industry. We teamed up and we've done fantastically, you know, to the point where we've been quite fortunate that where a lot of people have been unlucky throughout lockdown, we've been lucky enough that we've been able to cope the whole way through. Although nobody's been taking office space, he's quite different to me, where I'd like to spend money a bit more frequently. He's like, well, look, no, we're going to do it wisely. So, which is good. It's, you know, he's a smart guy. And then during lockdown, me and Kieran were like, let's do something together. And that's when we set up the idea of Cold Coffee. So it's me, Kieran, my existing business partner, Steve, and a small coffee roaster in Ampthill, Bedfordshire, called Wooden Hill. So we all teamed up and we thought, look, let's just do it. And I think we went out and got, what, 8,000 cans done?
Yeah, 8,000.
But the thing is that we do everything. We've done it quite quickly because that must have taken us, what, I think that was like 12 weeks from the case. So from a case of us all jumping on Zoom call, speaking and actually bringing it to life.
Yeah.
And then, about 3 months ago now, we sat down and we said, look, let's bring some. We was approached, directly by the factory saying, look, we'd love to work with you two.
We popped down there, didn't we, to see the coffee?
That's it. We popped down into the coffee and they were like, look, let's brainstorm. I'm sure there's something we can collaborate and do. And we were like,
ooh. This is what James is good at. So when we go into like random places, James is just great at making relationships and conversations.
Oh, he's already pitched me to ideas.
It's just like, we walk out of somewhere, we're like, we could do that. It's just like, that's why it's always good to like go and meet new people. That's why like, when we start these events again, it's great to have James there because conversations get...
I think that's the ADHD in me though. Do you know what I mean? I've always been someone that if I'm going to do something, I want to put 110% into it.
I think it's so interested in everything.
I think that, and sometimes it's a case of, I think, you know, and it might be me just pushing myself a little bit too much here, but thinking, oh, do you know what? I think there's an angle there where we could get involved. Mm. And it's never something that, I'm one of those that I'll never turn around and just say, it's just for me. I'd look at everyone around me, right? I'll always say, look, I'll always bring people in.
You'll see how other people can help you go further.
I think that's it.
Once you've got a task, you don't look at that task and go, how can I do that really well? How can I do that really well to make it better? And that's what James is really good at.
I think everyone can do a little bit of everything, but if there's something that you're very strong at, stick to it. And if there's something that someone else is strong at, you know, let them work to their strengths. And if it's going to complement and build the business up, like Kieran, for example, in his industry, there's a lot of great people out there, but there's also a lot of fake people out there, unfortunately. And, you know, I'd often say to him, well, look, I met that guy. Yeah, he's an okay guy, but on his platform, he's completely different to what he is in what he's like in real life. And, you know, one of the reasons me and Kieran get on so well is that Kieran's transparent. You know, as you see Kieran on his Instagram, is how he is in real life. You know, he has a laugh. He's approachable. He's not, you know, but some people you'll get these avid kind of Love Island fans, but I've never once been in a conversation with him where he's dropped it in and said, oh yeah, I was on Love Island. Never once.
That's why James is there.
I will chuck him under the bus and I'll be like, I'd be like, Kieran's getting a bit too comfortable. So Kieran, you haven't spoken to him about your Love Island days. And he'd be like,
some situations it works in our favour. Some situations I think now we go.
If he turns around to me and says, don't bring up anything about my past, I'm like rubbing my hands together.
This is going to be
there's great. There's been stuff that we've already mentioned that we can't talk about on this podcast, to be fair. So I think one other thing you mentioned, that you make it sound so easy, but like sitting here, right, I've had businesses that have succeeded, businesses that have failed. I've been able to start companies quickly, right, something that I think we can all relate on. But to go from an idea to an actual business, right, this is the main place where a lot of people struggle, is that they kind of see an opportunity, but they don't know how to take it. Now, from what I've seen with you two, is you see an opportunity, you know how to take it, you know what the next steps are. Now, it's not an easy question at all. So again, take as long as you need to think about this, right? But the first steps, right, to turn an opportunity, an idea, and put it into fruition and actually to generate something, how on earth do you do that?
Do you know what I think it is for us? We've both got serious FOMO, like fear of missing out on something. So we'll find an idea, and normally the ideas come from the weirdest places. Like, we don't get great ideas sitting down brainstorming stuff, right? James will be on the flipping treadmill, 5 kilometers in, headphones in. Kieran, I've got an idea. Whole gym's like packed. Everyone's looking over, thinking, "Why is this guy shouting?" I'm double tapping the earpod, going, "What do you want now?" "No, I've got a great idea here." Can I just wait? But anyway, we get the idea, and then we're like, "Right, now what we do? We sit down and we'll just work. We're happy to sit there working. We don't watch TV, do we? We watch football, and that's it." So we'll have to sit there, plan out, we'll just get a spreadsheet going, we'll just plan out the options that we think we have to go for, and then we'll kind of, if we feel like we need advice from other people, then go and seek it. But that's how we sort of work. And don't get us wrong, we don't know everything, but we know the basics. And that, for everyone listening to this, if you're thinking about starting your own little businesses, if you don't know nothing, you can get our product out there. Mm. I think obviously we get lucky along the way. We have our own coffee roaster, which, you know, the guy's part business, but that was just like,
we've got good strategic partnerships, haven't we? Yeah. I think that's what we do very well. And in our living room at home, so for those that don't know, we share a flat together, and we've got a whiteboard in our living room, and quite often we will literally get the pens out and start drafting ideas. And if we have an idea, you'll see a speech bubble come up. You'll see all these, you'll see everything going everywhere. And look, sometimes we'll come up with stuff and we'll put it down on paper, and it'll be a case of, look, you know what, it's not viable. The margins aren't good enough, or we haven't got the right route in. But then sometimes it'll be like, you know, we've still got a couple more things in the pipeline, haven't we? There's so many things that we've still got in the pipeline that we haven't brought out yet, because what we don't want to do is we don't want to take our eyes off what we've already got out there. Mm. Yeah, there's still big things to come. Like, for example, Law Shots, we're in talks with some big partnerships at the moment. So we're in talks with some big partnerships with that at the moment. Coffee, we've had some people approach us. And there's big things with that as well. So it's just a case of making sure that we don't take our eyes off what we've currently got. And we need to stay focused. And look, we've both got our businesses in the background. Kieran's running his academy. I'm running my office brokerage. And the fact of the matter is, these were set up as kind of hobbies, weren't they? They were kind of like generally just spare time.
Yeah, just bored. And we just thought, what can we do? And I think, obviously, the coffee was our first sort of product we ever brought out. And then we learned a lot from that. And then, obviously, when we started doing Raw Shots, which is just like what, you know, me and James and whatnot, we learned a lot from what we could take into the Raw Shots, which we've made, we think, a bit more of a better product. But we can now take that, what we've made, Raw Shots good, into coffee and make that good. And I just think it's just, like I say, fear of missing out and just, you know, trial and error, isn't it? You know, nothing works first time.
And it's never been easy work, though. Like, although we say it and it might sound easy, like, we do everything. Like, I mean, it wasn't long ago, we're in Hackney going around with bottles of shots, we're literally going into shops, and we're pitching to shops there and then. So we'll go in there, and we'll have an open conversation. We were speaking to a shop the other day, and I was chatting to the guy, and he's like, look, you know, we can't take them because of X, Y, Z. And then,
oh, that's like grains and grains.
Grains and grains. And then I spun it around, and he's like, "Yeah, do you know what? We'll take 30 shots right now." And I was like,
I was so impressed with that conversation he had there. I just thought, I was literally about to walk out, because I just thought, there's no way he's spinning this one around. And then the guy popped over and said, "Look, you can see the shelf, they're full. We haven't got no space for it." And James went, "Yeah, you're not selling any.
Yeah,
there's a reason why you're not selling them, because they're not as good as ours." And then the guy literally turned around and went, "Do you know what? I love you guys for actually giving it a go and keep pursuing it. I'll take the shots.
And they just put another order in, which is great. And then, you know, so it's not a case of we're out there speaking directly to Tesco's and Waitrose. We haven't got the luxury of the inns at all these places, and you've got to build a name for yourself. Now, we popped into a bagel shop the other day in Langdon Park called Bagel Eats, and popped in there to order a bagel. And I said to him, I said, look, your fridge needs a bit of colour. And he was like, what do you mean? And then I literally had shots around the corner. And we bought some shots over. And he was like, you know what, you're right. They look fantastic on the shelf. I've also got another shop over here. We'll take 200. So it was just like that. And it's just a case of opening conversations and looking at and talking to these people and seeing, is there a need for it? Yes. These shots, they've got so many health benefits. And that is the whole reason well, we got involved in it. So ethically, everything we do, we're not going to get involved in anything that we don't believe in. We could bring out alcohol, but it's not that we don't believe in it, it's just because that's not our market.
Mm.
The cold coffee we brought out, it was a full fact that it was a zero calorie drink, and it's an alternative to an energy drink. You know, coffee's got all the added benefits of giving you that buzz before as a pre-workout, because people are normally take a single or double espresso. So that's why we brought them out. There's always a motive behind why we bring what we do out.
Well, I think obviously what I'm all about is fitness, right? And I've taken shots for years, you know. I don't like taking pills for things like this when you get it all in a decent tasting shot. So every product that we are going to bring out is going to have to sort of relate to what I am all about, because I'm going to be on posting most of it, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you're obviously into health.
Of course, but we're not going to push something we don't believe in.
Yeah.
You know, we could go out there and, you know, we could sell Kieran silly headbands and stuff, but we're not going to do that.
That would work.
He's not on the treadmill though, so it can't happen, right? But I think, again, for me, it comes back to that opportunity piece, right? So you're on brand. You've both got similar values with the way that you look to do things. I've been a massive advocate of partnerships throughout my whole, like I've never done a business on my own. I've always done it with other people. Do you find business partnerships, and you mentioned strategic partnerships, everything that we're coming back to, and is actually one of the key things I speak about on the podcast a lot, is communication and relationship building, right? Everyone talks about this fancy stuff like on social media, about building brands, building businesses, and actually, when you strip it all back, all of it is can you build relationships and network properly?
Mm.
If you can do that and you've got an offer and a product and a service to sell, then you can generate revenue.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that, right? Now, you've been able to build some really, really successful businesses, right, in terms of whether you do it. And then they're up and coming and they're growing. I mean, what are you doing in terms of next steps to grow those companies, both the coffee brand, both the shop brand, and then obviously the other stuff that you've got going on as well. What's the big game plan?
So the truth is, you can only take a business so far. And if you haven't got, you know, it's all about knowledge, right? And I think this is where you have to then reach out to the professionals to say, look, we want to take the business to that next step. Now, we can be out there and we can come up with all these cool ideas with what we think will work from a marketing perspective, but we're not marketing geniuses. You know, we've got access to some amazing influencers online. And, you know, we use those channels. And we're quite fortunate that with a lot of companies out there, they have to use that money to send against marketing costs. And we're very fortunate that we don't. So, you know, we've touched that and we've done that. Next steps for us is we've been speaking to kind of marketing experts that specialize in the drinks industry. So we're just about to actually be launched on Amazon. But it's not just Amazon UK we're looking at. We're about to go into Europe. So Germany, Netherlands, Spain, Italy, etc. So there is, and it's going to go through the whole fulfillment network. So there is a much bigger picture. And then we're also in talks with a couple of retailers and wholesalers at the moment. But again, those are not quick steps to be taken. So the next steps for us would be Amazon and then effectively. But it's when you get the business to a certain stage, when you realize that you can't push it anymore,
that's when you start reaching out, isn't it?
You've got to start seeking advice. And I'm not sure.
That's what people don't see, though. We're constantly on phones to people. You know, let's get the ball rolling now. What do you actually need to do? You know, rather than just saying, oh, we'll come back to you. No, hang on a minute. Let's actually book a call in tomorrow. Let's talk about the next steps and let's just take the next steps, because otherwise it's just going to take another 3 or 4 months. It's annoying.
I was just going to say, so we don't really get much sleep, do we? Because we are working. Do you know what I mean? We're in the gym during the day and stuff. go off and, you know, we'll do our own businesses and stuff. But then it'll come to like 12, 1 o'clock, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and stuff. We're up, we're still working, still smashing out emails. There's always something to do. But I was just thinking back to raw shots. And then, you know, when you get to it gets to that time at night where you can't really call anyone because it's too late. Mm. Now, we had Kieran's brother-in-law, Andy, doing all the amazing designs for us on raw shots, and it'd be silly o'clock and we'd be calling them, Andy, we need you on a Zoom call. Yeah, and then the first 10 minutes would be us just having a full on laugh, and he's like, oh, guys, I've got to get some sleep. And he's like, hang on a sec.
That's the thing though, like, I think you talk about building relationships and connections until you start talking about your idea to not just people that are close to you, but other people that are around you as well who might know other people. For instance, my brother-in-law lost his job in lockdown, so he actually works with me with my academy stuff. He's been with my sister since she was 16. She's now, I think she's now 34. I didn't know that he could basically do graphic design.
Guy's a genius.
And he's so good at it. I didn't even know that. So, because his job is he had his own labeling company, which is just literally printing labels that companies give him the design for. He isn't designing anything. But he's like really tech, so he's really good with, you know, Illustrator and whatnot. So I was like, do you reckon you could do that? And he was like, yeah, I thought so. Comes back to us like 20 minutes later, hang on a minute, we can use you.
This is the thing though, isn't it? Going back to Quaffy cost us quite a bit to get up and running. Yeah, it's very simple with the labels and stuff. And we paid quite a lot of money to get that up and ready. Yeah, we went to his brother-in-law and he makes it look seamlessly so easy. Mm. And it's like, he's that guy that you meet. Such a nice guy, easy, laid back, that if he can't do something again, it's that, you know, he'll go and YouTube it, he'll Google it, and he'll be like, look, if I can't do it right now, I will know how to do it within the next 24 to 48 hours. He'll go away and he can do it. So it got to that stage, didn't it, where it was like, oh, can you do this? Yeah, can you do it? Yeah, and he was like, blimey, the amount of money we'd normally pay for that would be through the roof. But when we had someone like him, it was like, we just needed him on board.
Yeah. So I think it's about that action taking, right? And actually, I was trying to think of like a real like big theme for this podcast for when I did like the snippets for it and stuff. And one of the things actually, I'm going to hone in on that message, because for me, when it comes to starting, scaling businesses, brands, however it is that you're doing, I think back to like, if you ever watch Kieran's stories, right? If there's not a swipe up promoting his academy at some point on there, like, you know he's ill or something, you know something's going on, right? But people look at that and they go, that's a little bit over the top. But for me, it isn't, because at the end of the day, like your brother-in-law, like with the way that he's done there, he didn't know that he did it until you found out. And then when you found out, there was an opportunity, and the opportunity only comes to you when people know what it is that you do. And when it came to raw shots, there's, again, you take one every day, you showcase it every day. I remember it. You've got the coffee, you've got the shot, you've got the pint of water, the photo that you do every single day. Like, that sort of stuff is representing, telling people what you're doing. So whenever people mention James Hennessy, Kieran Nichols, your brands that you do, Chris Taylor, if they can't clearly say, this is what you do, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So for me, with that, with the way that social media is working out, it gives us a huge opportunity. And like I say, respect, because for me, like, not enough people do it in terms of the way that they're, like, they're not proud of almost really shouting about how good they are, what they do. And if you can do that over and over again, suddenly you're going to be shocked at how much opportunity comes your way. So, I mean, is that something that you've just always had? Like, in terms of that get up and go type attitude, that ability to not brag about yourself, but just, you know, get out there and say, look, this is what I stand for. This is who I am. This is what I do.
I think I used to have an old manager that once said to me that if you're not enjoying what you're doing, don't do it. And that was what kicked in for me. And that's one of the things that encouraged me to go off and start my own business originally. You know, I meet so many people that do the same job and they're unhappy about it and they'll constantly slate it and constantly be down about it. And I think to myself, why'd you do it? Why are you still there? What are you doing about actually not doing that anymore? Are you looking elsewhere? Oh, no. Well, you've only got yourself to blame. That's it. If you're that unhappy, then, you know, if you don't like what you're watching, change the channel. And I think that's how I live now. If I don't enjoy something, I simply just won't do it. Mm. But everything I do, I enjoy. I absolutely love. Like, my life at the moment is going fantastic. Yeah, although, look, of course, we're in a pandemic. It's been difficult. But I've had the right people around me to kind of strive to the next steps.
As well.
Yeah.
I think with me, I'm just so disciplined with everything I do. My mum said this to my little nephew the other day, just saying like how cute how I was when I was younger. even to the point where if it was just like a piece of football skill that I'd just seen on YouTube, I'd keep trying until I get there. And, you know, it's just how I've been ever since I was a kid, really. I think this can come from a football background. I used to love it when managers, like, they rated me, but they didn't tell me they rated me. But then, I don't know, I just wanted to impress them all the time.
To prove something.
I loved that. Like, because it didn't come very often. When it did, you knew they meant it. And that's, I don't know. I don't do things to impress other people, but I want to make them sort of...
I've spoken about this a couple of times, actually, recently to my academy group and to a couple of clients as well. Like, I've become really, really self-aware quite young in terms of like how I work, how I tick, like what makes me kind of work harder and perform better. And it's not really money. It never has been for me. It's actually validation. So it's like other people go, you know what, fucking hell, that kid's actually done all right. And that's come from my background as a kid. Even when I was younger, cricket was my sport, right? That's what I played. My dad played for England, so automatically that's what I wanted to fucking do. Right? That's where England. I wanted to go. Two games for England, right? Make it sound big, right? But like for me with it, it was like I got to very, very close to getting a professional contract, and then I got injured, right? I didn't have knees, mine was a back, I had a double stress fracture in my back, career done. I literally had to rest for a year and a half after an operation, and I just couldn't do it. So I've still got the injury, it still happened today. But like ever since that point, it's been like, well, how do I prove myself further? Like, how do I really push to make one thing, make my dad proud of me? That was my biggest thing. Yeah. That was that validation I was looking for. So I went into work. I got to the top of the place that I could in work for my age. I looked up on my manager. She was 15 years, still left in her job. I thought, I've got no chance here. I'm not sitting around for 15 years waiting for her to decide to retire. So I went and started my own business. Nice. Proved myself there, went away, worked hard, did it again. And for me, like, it's always been, if I have someone to impress, hold my hands up, right? If I've got someone to go, you know what, I'm going to prove you wrong, I'm relentless. If I don't have it, I become quite sluggish and like just going about my everyday life. So I mean, again, for me, that's totally hits home and relates.
Not in a way to brag, just a way to...
No, think. just to go.
To make them go away and think. I like when you do something and you know they're walking off going, hang on, Matt, he's actually done well here. Do you know what I mean? Without them even telling you, you don't need them to tell you because you know it.
You have that feeling, don't you?
Yeah.
This jumps onto like the competitiveness, right? Like I was just saying to you earlier, wasn't I, about how competitive we are. Like whether it's in the gym, wherever it is.
Me and you?
Yeah.
Running up them steps out there.
Yeah, like
said it earlier.
Do you know what I mean?
We're so childish. It's
like literally everything we do is competitive, but it's in a friendly way. Mm-hmm. Like we still go around and we nutmeg each other with the balls and stuff, and it's like if I get nutmegged, my head's gone for the rest of the day. Honestly, I'm like, you're joking me. How the hell did that happen? And my head is gone. But I think, you know, that's one thing that we're always pushing each other. You know, we always want the best for each other. We're always kind of trying to strive to do better.
Should we go back to the whole Clubhouse famous saying? You are the average of the five people
you spend the most time with.
That's so cliche, but it is so true. And I think, you know, I've realised that, especially the last couple of years, since coming out of Love Island and you know, spending time with different people, a lot of different people, and now, you know, I've kind of like narrowed it down to, you know, a few people. Obviously, James is the main one. It does make you realise that, like, how someone who's can be with you for such a long time changes the way that you are in a positive manner. Because it can be a negative manner as well if you're hanging around the wrong
people. We've seen numerous examples, right?
Which is why you've got to actually take a look at the people that you're around. You know, I wouldn't be sitting here today because raw shots and coffee with James. We wouldn't have the ideas together. And the thing about James, he makes things seem so simple. You know, it's why can't we do it? Give me a reason why we can't. And I'm like, I actually can't. So, you know, credit to James for sort of pushing me forward as well.
Like I say, you are right. I know it is a cliche, but for me, like, environment's what's turned me into the person that I am, right? I think is something massively said for it. Even look at the Conor McGregor story, right? It was the fear of going back into that environment that kept him moving forward, even when he reached the top. It was that I can't go back to where I was, so how do I keep propelling myself forward? For me, it's been everything. Like, I was in work, I was in the property industry. I said to you earlier, right? Like, I literally spent a year networking in this room, level 39, at the top, traveling back and forth from here to Southampton, to Ipswich, to up into Leeds, Manchester, every event that I could to build a name for myself. That was what I did. I thought the more property people I spent time with, the more that would just sink into me. And no shot, it did. Like when it comes to who I hang around with now, like I'll be like, I've lost a couple of good close schoolmates because I had to make some difficult decisions as to who I was going to hang around with. Because for me, I've got such huge objectives that I want to go after. And to be able to do it, I need certain people around me that are going to match or push my energy level further. Because you're around someone who's lazy, can't be bothered every single day. That's going to drag you into that. You're with someone that's like pumped up, fire, let's get to the gym, let's do this, do that. Rub off on each other all the time, right? It's massive.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And that's one of the things that I think, like, you're the same as well from where you're back from. But I've just come back, you know, from up Suffolk. And literally, just driving through the middle of the town, it's like, same old with everyone, not everyone, but most people that I've ever sort of hang around with back there. It's just like, they always like talk about making a change and doing this. But if you really hated it as much as you say you did, you'd actually do it and you'd make the change. And they're not happy in where they are. They know they want to change, but they're just scared of it. Whereas me and James are quite different. We like to be put in uncomfortable situations and seeing how well we can deal with it. And if we don't deal with it, yeah, we'll annoy us because we're competitive as shit. But then we'll always be like, we've learned a hell of a lot from that.
Yeah.
Next time it happens, I'm nailing the shit out of that. Do you know what I mean? So
totally. I mean, like, it even goes down to, like, you boys are going out to an event tonight, right?
Yeah.
Most people will be sitting at home doing nothing, right? And don't get me wrong, you're going to have fun tonight. It's going to be a good event.
But the people you
could potentially meet at that thing, you have no idea. And that's three hours. And people don't see this stuff.
Yeah, right?
And this is the stuff that I want to bring to light. Especially when it comes to building brand, it's not put a few posts out there on social media and everything's going to start happening for you. No. It's how many people know exactly what it is that you do and how you help people.
Yeah.
And then go out there and actually do it.
Yeah.
Right? And get out there and network. I mean, for those sorts of events out of interest, like, how do you find those sorts of opportunities? Not just the PR events, but to be able to go and meet these people and meet the people that you've had. How have you done it?
I think it's quite, I'll give you an example, right? So we was in, and this wasn't any benefit to us or anything like that, but just talking about people that we meet out. We was out in Dubai one year and we bumped into Titus Bramble. Have you heard of him?
The footballer.
So I was on from Mr. Genuine and I used to be a chef, right? So I used to work with a guy who's the head chef at the Football Club. So I knew a couple of the players anyway, so he would have known me, wouldn't he? So we were going around the pool. And then we got talking, obviously, like, James was being James.
We was in a shop, weren't we? And then he was like, come over, said hello and stuff. And then we said hello back. And from then, we all spoke, right? So I'd be up in Ipswich and then I'd see him going out and about and I'd talk to him. But just touching base on that story, someone like him, that me growing up and him being a footballer in the Premiership, you know, I used to collect the football stickers and everything. You meet someone like that and you know, he was telling us, we went out for a couple of meals and stuff like that, but the stories that guy had were just incredible.
Mm.
Like, we were so interested in that. He would ask you about Love Island and stuff.
That's the crazy thing.
But that was the thing. You know, you think, and these guys are asking him about Love Island.
He was loving it. He's a big fan of Love Island. And I was like, I'm sitting here. And you're talking about Love Island. I want to talk about
football. Like, you actually, like,
the stories he had, like this guy's played against Christian Vieri. You know, he's played against the real Ronaldo, the big Ron. And we're talking to him about these stories. And me and him were like, yeah, all right, well, sorry for boring you, like, what's it like with this?
We were constant, weren't we? We went out for that Thai food and we were just like eating.
Yeah, but what's it like?
It's incredible.
Obviously, for him, it's, you know, it's just normal and stuff, but he's like such a nice, humble guy. And like, he'll pop up every now and again and say, like, you know, he'll drop something in on Instagram and that. And you just think, what a nice guy. You know, and this is a guy and I thought I'd chuck him in as an example, because not everyone you meet you want to get something out of, or, you know, they can get something out of you. But that was just a prime example of meeting a really nice guy and learning so much about.
I think it's the way that we are as well, right? I think when we meet these people, we're not idiots, are we? We don't.
So they
want to actually. This wasn't just who I am, I think. I think even if we was just like
normal people.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, we are.
It just helped, didn't it? Like, Love Island.
but it's just, I think like, he wanted to spend more time with us. Like, he was out, he's living there now, he's still there. And he was just like, what are we doing today? You fancy just chilling around the pool and
whatnot.
I think it's just nice to have.
It's just great hearing his stories, though, because he's got stories for days. Like, he said, what did he say? He said, one night, he was out in Miami and he'd walked out of a shop, looked up, and he said, like, someone went to him, hey, Titus, you good? And I was like, who was it? And who is it? And it was me, like a little kid. And he's like, oh, it was David Beckham. And I was like,
oh, that was everyone else.
I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, David Beckham. And just he, like, have
he,
you been
he,
in that?
He said that was the only time where he was just like quite starstruck, and he was like.
But those sort of
that.
Stories,
when you don't think that because of who he is and what he's done. And, you know, he's played for Wigan. He's played.
He's played at top level for so many years. You know, this is a guy that's played in the Premiership, played at every football match, played in the. What was he in? Was it the Europa or the Champions League when he played against Milan?
European League.
European League. So he played against Milan and stuff like that.
So it was semi-final, final, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Milan, yeah. But hearing those sort of stories for us, it was like, wow, because, you know, I'm like 10, what, 14 years old and stuff, and he's in the Premiership.
Dominating life. I mean, to be fair, what you've said there, for me, like, we teach storytelling. Okay, yeah. Really switch this into, like, the detail of what we talk about, right? We teach it. And even the way that you two just lit up then is talking about reminiscing that story, that experience and all this sort of thing. It's something that I've learned in business a lot, but also just in everyday life. Like, people just, you see it, right? It's information, education. It's everywhere online right now. Clubhouse rooms, on TV, on anywhere. But actually, if you really think about what we connect with, it's nothing about the information at all. It's all about the stories and the way that we do it.
That's it.
And you two have got the ability to be able to story tell really, really well. And actually, I think that's a skill that I don't think many people actually talk about. I definitely don't talk about it enough, but anyone's what our bloody business does. but like in the grand scheme of things, if you've got the ability to do that, you can go up and have these conversations with people, feel comfortable doing it. And, you know, like I used to feel like this. Whenever I used to go to networking events, like the first ones I ever used to go to, I used to hate talking to people. I'd be the person who goes and sits in like the far corner of the room, like on a rocking back and forth,
yeah.
Like trying to just wait for the event to finish, just to tick off that I've been there. I used to hate them. And then the more and more that I went, the more and more that I got recognized. I'm really good when people come and talk to me. I'm shit when people, I have to go and talk to other people, always have been. So I'll always find a way of someone shining the spotlight on me. I spoke to you about it earlier, right?
Yeah.
Like shine the spotlight, and then I'm in my element.
But
I think it's a skill that you both have, the ability to be able to go out there, approach and do it. I mean, again, like, probably one of the final questions I want to ask, I think it's important. Is that something that you've developed? Have you always been like it? It's in terms of go up, speak to anybody and that sort of thing?
I think mine just comes up.
Yours is definitely more natural than mine. I've definitely got way better at it since hanging around with James. Mm-hmm. Right? For instance, like what you just said there about being like sort of put the spotlight on you. I can, when you do that, I can then go for it. And he knows that. So he knows when to chuck me in there, when not to chuck me in there, which is always good. But like, take it back to Newcastle when we met Jake.
He's now agent.
What you talk about being comfortable, like James, bear in mind, James doesn't watch TV. He didn't know anyone at this event, apart from we knew Sam, obviously, because we always hang around with Sam. That's the reason he was at the event. So all the Geordie Shore lot are there, James doesn't know any of these people. So he don't care though, he's up to all these people. So who are you then, like, do you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, if they're going to be like weird with it, then there's nothing we need to really talk to them about, is there? So that's what James is good at, just being comfortable with, in any situation, whoever you are, no matter who you are, I'm talking to you. And if I think you can benefit me and I can benefit you, it's going to carry on, sort of thing, the conversation.
But yeah, and I think for me, you know, being in the industry that I'm in, I'm used to speaking to directors, CEOs, you know, I remember doing a deal with the ex-CEO at Barclays Bank. You know, this is a guy that got paid millions a year. Mm. Now, everyone is just a normal human being, regardless of your background, your upbringing, you know, anything like that, race, colour, all of that. Everyone is the same. But no matter, even, you know, people go on about, I went to this uni, I went to that college. To me, it's irrelevant. I'll take it on face value as soon as I meet you. And we talk, you know, I'll know if we're going to get on or not. And for me, it's like, oh, I just want to get on with everyone. You know, there's no one, I don't have anything against anyone. You know, if somebody rubs me up the wrong way, it is what it is. Hopefully next time when I meet you, you're not a dick. And I think that's it. Just don't be a dick in life. You know, it's just so simple. There's no reason not to like anyone or to put people down or, you know, I notice so often now, and especially after everything that's happened, is that a lot of people out there don't like seeing other people succeed. And it's so obvious to see, you know, and that's one thing that really gets to me after everything that's happened over the last kind of 2 years, you know, not just COVID, like the whole Black Lives Matter,
everything.
You know, kicking racism out of football. This is something that should have been done a long time ago. And I for me, that's the bit that frustrates me. I just think that just don't be a dick in life and just get on with everyone and want people to be the best versions of themselves.
That's one thing that I don't like about social media is that these people that are, you know, when we follow these pages that have like certain sayings on them, and they always share the sayings that they do, which annoys me. Like, say one, for instance, like, you never look good putting somebody else down. And the people that share those ones are normally the people that are doing that.
Yeah.
But it's just annoying me. Like, that's the one thing I hate.
Hypocritical.
It's so hypocritical. Yeah. It's just like,
I've just not got time for that. And that's why my circle in life is really small, but for that one, for that reason.
Mm.
Like, people always say to me, oh, are you and Kieran always together? Because one of the key elements there is trust. Okay, and we trust each other.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and, you know, it's hard. You know, you can trust X amount of people, but then when they start letting you down, oh, yeah, no, I'll do this, I'll do that, or I'll call you. And you just get to that point where you just take it with a pinch of salt.
Mm.
And that's it. And it's just like, my circle is small for a reason. It's because, you know, I don't trust everyone, unfortunately, but I want everyone to succeed. Mm. But then, you know, when I start to become successful, it's like people, you know, people, they don't like it.
No.
And that's the bit that frustrates me. Like, we'll push a product out and it'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely buy it. And it's like, that's fine. If you buy it, you buy it. Fantastic. Look, here's a discount code. You know, I'm going to help you by giving you a discount code. They won't buy it.
No.
You know, they don't want you to go on and be and do well. So, yeah, I think that's...
It's an interesting one. I mean, yeah, no, I think it's a powerful topic, right? Because I think you can see so much online, can't you, in terms of everybody supporting, being positive and all this sort of thing. But actually, behind the scenes, for me, doesn't mean anything, right? Like, that positive support.
Yeah.
And we spoke about this before. I know we agree on it. It's like... Great. If you're going to say something positive about me, then amazing. But if you're going to say something negative about me, amazing. It doesn't matter to me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it used to matter to me a lot. Now it's like, it just has no relevance. You mean nothing.
And
now it's just about, again, like you say, keeping that circle small. For me, it's a great thing. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, if my circle was bigger, I don't think I'd have the relationships that I'd have because I don't have the flipping time.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day right now, spent all day in London, right, today, away from everything else. I'll go back and I probably have to start a full work day again. So
yeah.
You go back in, I haven't seen my family, haven't seen my girlfriend, like all these different things that are going on. It's not easy. So I think there's sacrifice that's got to be had with all of this stuff. And especially when you're in the public spotlight and you start to get known and people start to recognise you, it definitely happens. I mean, and with that being said, I mean, what's next for you boys? Where are you looking to, what are you looking to do with the brands? Where are you looking to go? What's the plan?
We have so many ideas. Weird things, don't we?
There's literally so much going on. We're in talks with bringing a couple of people on board just to help with the brands. And it's just time.
So one thing that I'm doing is I've got a couple of people that work for me, which takes a few things off my hand, which then gives me more time to be able to do other things. And I think I spoke to you about this before we went live. It's not stressing me out, but I kind of feel like I've got a lot of time now. So I'm not panicking because I know everything's getting done, but I find it weird now that I could generally get up and not do anything and my emails are done and everything else is done behind the scenes, which is a great position to be in. But I like being involved with everything. And I think that's where you need to take the next step to be able to progress in other departments. And, you know, I can't do the two. And that's where I got really lucky during when lockdown happened. I was a you know, personal trainer in the city, and I was trying to do the online stuff at the same time, and it really was just like way too much work, and I was just like thinking, how am I going to be able to transition everything over line out to online? As soon as lockdown happened, you know, all my clients I couldn't do in the city, so they all had to come over online, and that really helped me be able to focus on that one product, which was obviously my academy. And within the space of a year, I've now got a team of people that help me. And then now I've been able to give them more work to do. Allows me more time to put more time into my content, into other businesses that me and James want to set up, and our current ones. And I think that's where I feel like it's now starting to look really good. And I'm investing a lot of money into things at the moment as well. So another 6 months to a year from now, who knows where we could be right now.
Yeah, agreed. And I've been working on that. So behind the scenes, as well as the main Raw Shots of Coffee, as mentioned earlier, I've been working on an app, a global co-working space app called Colafiz. So all my thoughts and efforts out of hours have been going into that, speaking to the development teams. We've got a team of developers that have been working on the app. The app's probably about 2 weeks from being completed. It's just launched on the App Store and the Play Store. So over the moon with that, it's just, so big plans ahead for that as well.
Amazing stuff. I think, like I say, it's just definition of taking opportunity, right? And I think one of the things you mentioned, Kieran, when you're going through your stuff, right, is you've built a sustainable business, which not many people can do.
Mm.
And it's the biggest challenge. We spoke about this morning, actually. It's people can, there's a big difference, should I say, between having a business and being self-employed. And this is a big thing at the moment, is most people, when they build businesses, they're doing everything on their own. And therefore, when they want to go away for a couple of weeks or a month, they have to work. They they have to, otherwise they don't earn any money. Whereas what you've been able to do is create an actual company, same thing with what you've done with domain and everything like that, that operates without any of your involvement whatsoever. And now you can operate as a shareholder, which is perfect, on the board of directors, actually helping to scale your businesses. And it's something that I've been talking about a lot with our stuff, because for me, I made the mistake of thinking I had a business and didn't. I thought I had a very, very successful business that was doing a lot of money, but actually you take me away from it, it blows up, didn't work. So I think that's probably the biggest and probably the best message to end on, actually, is the fact that no matter what it is that you're doing, no matter where your attention's going, no matter what you're focusing on, never forget the fact that at some point you need to remove yourself from it for it to be able to scale and be sustainable for you to then be able to sell at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. For me, like, I build all my businesses to sell, even if I don't want to sell them, just because at that point I have value and everything that I'm building, my business is an asset rather than a liability to me. It gives us such bigger vast for growth and opportunity. So thank you boys both for coming on. Appreciate it massively.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Where's the best place to connect with you online?
Mine would be probably Instagram. So handle is HennessyJ989.
We need to change that, don't we? We need to make that a bit simpler, I think. we'll link it all in the description so people can come and check you out. Kieran, where about you?
Yeah, same. Instagram, KieranNichols_.
Awesome.
Main problems on there. And obviously all our links, I've got Linktree, so all of our links are in there for our Raw Shots Coffee, and anything else, Academy, anything else.
Amazing stuff. Cool. I'll also link it all in the description for everything here. If anyone's got any questions, as always, fire it through, #straight to the point. Guys, been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Speak to you soon.
Thank you.